Word. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word this morning. And I pray, Father, that every heart would be open and receptive. And I pray, Father, that you would give to each one of us today the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you by the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Lord, open our eyes that we may see what you want us to see today. Open our eyes and our ears, Father, the eyes of our spirit, the ears of our heart today, Father, that we may see and that we may hear your truth, Father, your revelation. May we walk by that truth and may we walk by that revelation and not by what we see. Let us not be governed and ruled by what we see with our physical eye, but let us walk by what we see with the eyes of faith, with the eyes of our spirit. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for it. And everyone that agreed said, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. I want to read you about three verses right here. And then we'll get into this. 2 Timothy 2, 19. It says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Praise God. So at the end of last year, it was about 2 weeks ago, I think, the Holy Spirit seemed to impress on me this passage. And I just one morning as I was praying, reminded me of this scripture, and he did so as a goal or for a vision for my life for 2022, for this year. And also I'm led to share it with you. I want to bring you in on it. I believe it's good for you too. Amen. So I hope you'll trust me with this. And it was the last phrase in this passage that really stood out to me, where he says, prepared for every good work. Prepared for every good work. So as I thought about that, I expressed a desire to the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to do that. I want to be that. I want to be prepared for every good work. Amen. I want to be ready for the Lord to use me whenever the situation arises, wherever the need arises. I want to be prepared for every good work. Amen. I don't want to be in a position when faced with someone with a spiritual need, someone needing spiritual help, someone needing deliverance or healing, I don't want to have to say, wait here. I'm going to go and repent. I'm going to go and fast. I'm going to go and pray. I'm going to go try to build myself up in my faith, get full of the Holy Spirit. No, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And in this passage and in the verses before and after it, we get some insight in how that we can be ready and how we can keep ourselves ready. Is anybody interested in being a vessel that's prepared for every good work? Amen. A vessel of honor prepared for every good work. Well, good. Well, I want to talk to us about that today. And that's my title, Prepared for Every Good Work. Now, he talks about this. He says that we're in a great, that he mentions a great house. He said in verse 20, but in a great house. So we are in a great house. And I'm going to spend some time explaining that to you and letting you know what that means in a moment. But first, he mentions, like when you're building a house, what do you do first? You lay the foundation, don't you? Right? And he talks about that back up in verse 19. Trinity, if we could put that one back up there. In verse 19, he says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. I want to read it to you in the New Living Translation. It says, but God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription. And what's the inscription on that foundation stone? It's this: the Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. So imagine an edifice, a building with the foundation stone. Maybe you've seen public buildings that have an inscription on that building, right? And the builders of a building, when they put an inscription on that, they do so, they put it in a prominent place on the building. And what they're doing is they're communicating the most important thing that they want you to know about that building. And they're also communicating the purpose and the function of that building when they put that inscription on the foundation stone. Amen. And the foundation stone of the Lord's house is this. The Lord knows those who are His, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. Praise God. So again, the building we're talking about here is the church. Now, the church is not a physical building with brick and mortar, but the church is a spiritual building. And we are that building. We make up that building. See, in the Old Testament, God had them to construct buildings for Him to live in, for His presence to dwell in. First, He commanded Moses to build the tabernacle. Later, through David and Solomon, the temple was built and then rebuilt after it was destroyed, right? But that was only temporary. That wasn't God's final plan. What He really wanted was to dwell within His redeemed people. And He accomplished that in Jesus. Amen. He does that. We make up a great house. It's a great house that we're a part of. It's a great house that we comprise. It's the house of God. Amen. And I want to spend a little time developing that and talking about that thought this morning before we get back to the other. But 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5, this is the New International Version, excuse me. As you come to Him, the living stone, that's Jesus, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. See, this house is still being built. Amen. In Ephesians 2, verse 19, this is in the New Living. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are His house. Look at that. Together, we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. Praise God. So He says, together, He says, we are His house. Amen. And then in 1 Timothy 3:14, He says, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, when He's talking about the house of God here, again, He's not talking about the building, but He's talking about, He says, the house of God, which is the church. The house of God, which is the church of the living God. And again, He's not talking about the church building, but He's talking about each one of us who make up and who comprise the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And He says we ought to know how to conduct ourselves in church. Amen. You know, I was raised in church. I was brought up in church. Started going to church when I was a baby. And went to church. And one thing I remember, and now the church that I grew up in, we had pews, and they didn't even have padding for a long time. Just hard pews. But, you know, your mother, and you, this may have happened to you as well, your mother told you, don't put your chewed gum under the pew. Did anybody ever hear that? A few of you know what I'm talking about. So, you know, you're chewing gum as a kid, and then you're sitting in church, and then you remember, I threw the wrapper away. So what are you going to do? Now, I tried to, you know, I have to admit, I have to confess, I probably did that. I didn't do it a lot, but I probably did. And you could feel under the pew. I mean, you ever run your hand under a church pew? The old dried and hardened gum. Now, it was really bad if you run your hand under there and it was sticky. That meant there was a fresh one just recently planted under there. But you could run your hand under it. But what are you going to do? I mean, if you've thrown away the wrapper, I mean, what can you do with it other than stick it under the pew? I mean, you know, there's a songbook in the, you know, in front of. Do you want to tear? I wasn't going to tear a page out of the songbook. We didn't take our Bibles to church back in those days, so I didn't have my Bible, and I wasn't going to tear a page out of the Bible to wrap it up in. I thought, what? Well, Mom? Do you want me to stick it, you know, in the hair of the old lady sitting in front of me? So what are you going to do? But that's not what we're talking about necessarily in how to behave or how to conduct ourselves in the house of God. All right. We could talk about that, though. We could talk about how to conduct yourself in a church service. Number one, put away your phone and make sure that you silence it before you put it away. Right. Don't talk to your neighbor that you're sitting by while the pastor's trying to teach and preach the word. See, you're going to miss it, and they're going to miss something that may change their life. Amen? But it goes beyond dealing with how to act in a church service. He's not really talking about that. He's talking about more than that. He's talking about how to live and be and function as the church. Amen? And he says this in this passage too. He says, the church is the pillar and the ground or the foundation of the truth. The church is to be the pillar and the ground or the foundation of the truth. And oh, how our nation and our world desperately needs the church to be the pillar and the foundation for the truth. Yeah. I mean, the world is just getting more and more and more insane. And when you think that it can't be any more insane or foolish, then they take another step in that direction. The world and our nation needs the church to stand up and to proclaim the truth. And to proclaim the word of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And let's look at another verse. Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3 verse 5. He says, Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths God would reveal later. And the sacrifices, in the Passover, in the tabernacle, it was all symbolic, revealing and pointing to a Savior, a Redeemer, Jesus. Amen? And Moses was faithful in God's house to do that. But then in verse 6, he says, but Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house, and we are God's house. We are that house, and Christ is in charge of it. That's why we say that He is the Lord and the head of the church. Amen? Praise God. He's the head of the church. We are that church. We are that house. And it is a great house. Everybody say, I'm in a great house. Amen. Hallelujah. One more verse on this. 1 Peter 4:17. Peter says this, for the time has come for judgment to begin where? At the house of God. Where does judgment begin? It begins at the house of God. And that brings us back to our original passage that we started out with. See, if you own a home, then you know there comes a time. He said the time has come. You know there comes a time, usually the wife spots it about 6 months to a year before the husband does, that there comes a time when things in that house need to be fixed. They need to be repaired. They need to be upgraded. The house needs to be painted. It needs a new roof. The floors need to be refinished, or you may need the carpet cleaned or new carpet. Or maybe it's time after 30 years, like we're doing in the church here, to get new furniture. Amen. And there's a time when the house of God needs to undergo some repair and some correction. Amen. That's what judgment is. It's correction. So why? So that it can fully function the way it's supposed to. See, your house can get in disrepair, certain systems in the house, and so your house is not functioning the way it should. It needs repair. Amen. It needs correction. Amen. Well, the house of God, there's times where the house of God needs that. Amen. Where we can function the way that we're supposed to. Praise God. I want to read to you a word from Kenneth Copeland. I sent it out to you in the e-bulletin. Did you see this? You didn't? So we can't see what you're holding up. It's a prophetic word. Sent it out to you as a PDF document. What's in store for 2022? It's right in the e-bulletin that I sent out. I think it was a special one. I don't think it was the weekly one, but a special one I sent out right at the beginning of the year, or right at the end of the year, end of 2021. What's in store for 2022? But the Lord gave Kenneth Copeland a prophetic word, and it's this: 2022 will be an extraordinary year of correction, direction, protection, and perfection in spirit, soul, and body, in finances, and in churches, and government. 2022, I'll read it again, will be an extraordinary year of correction, direction, protection, and perfection. See, God wants to lead us on to perfection. But in order to get to perfection, it starts with correction. Amen. In order to get to, and if we'll receive correction. And by the way, when I read this, it fit right in with what the Lord had already impressed on my heart a few days before about being a vessel of honor, about being prepared for every good work. There's some correction that needs to take place in order to get there, in order to some adjustments that need to be made in order to do that. Amen? Amen. And that's what he was dealing with me about. And so then I read this and it fit right in. I told Pat, she mentioned some things one morning when we came in for prayer school. And I said, well, this is what we're going to talk about. And I read this word from Brother Copeland. But it begins with correction and it finishes with perfection. Amen. And that's where God wants to take us. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And I know you remember what I preached here on October the 24th of last year, right? Nervous laughs, I see. Well, October the 24th, David, tell us if you can get to. What is it? 10:10? It's going to be close there. All right. I'll go ahead and beat you to it. I preached on receiving correction. So go back and listen to that. You can find David's got a page or two of notes there too. Praise God. I preached on receiving correction that day. So go back and listen to that. You can find it on our podcast page. And it fits right in with this. But let's go back to 2 Timothy now. 2 Timothy 2:20, he says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Peter, in the verse we read in 1 Peter 4:17, he says judgment. It's time for judgment to begin at the house of God. Here, Paul talks about cleansing ourselves. If any man cleanse himself. Well, thankfully, God gives us the opportunity. In 1 Corinthians, Paul said, if we would judge ourselves, we have the opportunity to take the word and the prompting of the Holy Spirit and judge ourselves. And if we judge ourselves, the Bible says we won't be judged. Amen. What a great deal. We ought to take God up on that plan. Sign me up for that. Amen. Yes, I can through the word, I can judge myself. Praise God. And So Peter talks about cleansing ourselves, and he talks about departing from iniquity. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity or turn away from evil. And it's, yes, it is only the blood of Jesus, and it's only the grace of God that can cleanse us. But we have to apply that blood through faith. That's our part. Amen? We apply the blood through faith. We respond to the working of His grace within us. That's our part in cleansing ourselves, responding to the grace of God, responding to His correction, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us. Amen? Choosing, making a decision. Lord, I'm gonna do what Your Word says, regardless of what my flesh feels like doing. Amen? Regardless of what the world's doing, regardless of the standard that the world has adopted as being okay or acceptable, I'm going to do what Your Word says. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Now he says here too that, or what we need to do in, as far as cleansing ourselves, is making a decision to put away things that would contaminate the vessel. Look, notice the phrase that he uses here. In verse 20, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. And then he says in verse 21, he'll be a vessel for honor. A vessel for honor. God wants you, your life, to be a vessel for honor. Amen? A vessel that He can use for any and every good work. A vessel that's ready for that. Amen? That's what we're talking about. See, a vessel is something that you eat from or drink out of or prepare food in. That would be considered a vessel, right? Now, the water of the Holy Spirit and the food of God's Word, that's pure. You can have the best food. You can have the purest water. Would you serve? You know, you go to all the trouble of buying bottled water. You go to all the trouble of putting a water filter in your refrigerator. You go to all the trouble of buying one of those jugs, that has a filter in it that you pour the water in, it filters it through, and you set that in your refrigerator. Wouldn't it be foolish to go to all the trouble to purify the water and then get out a cup that you've not washed in 3 weeks and pour it in that and drink it? Would anybody do that? No. The vessel has to be clean too. Amen. You wouldn't eat out of a dirty dish. You wouldn't drink out of a dirty cup. Amen. Why? Well, one thing is that the besides the germs and all of that, you know, your water can pick up the flavor of whatever's in that cup if it's not pure. I don't like that, do you? No. See, God wants each one of us to be vessels of honor, sanctified, it says. See, it says vessels for honor, sanctified. The word sanctified means set apart. Set apart. See, if you have pets, then I venture to say, and if you don't do this, come and talk to me later. I want to help you. But I venture to say that you don't eat out of the same bowl that you feed your dog and cat in. I venture to say that you don't drink out of the same container that your pet drinks out of. You have vessels, dishes, cups that are set apart, sanctified for human use, and those that are set apart for the pets to use. And again, if you don't do that or are confused about that, then come and talk to me later. I'll be happy to help you. Praise God. And so He wants us to be vessels that are set apart, sanctified or set apart, and useful for the Master and prepared for what? Every good work. Amen? And see, it's up to you. Somebody said, well, I'm just a doggy dish in the house of God. Well, that's up to you if you want to be that. But it's not up to... God did not assign you to be a doggy dish in His house. God wants you to be a vessel of honor. If any man cleanse himself, he will be a vessel for honor. That's up to you. That's up to me. If we will take heed and if we will cleanse ourselves, then we can be vessels for honor and we can be ready for God to use us for every good work. Amen? Amen? And that's what He wants. So how do we get there? Well, Jesus spoke the word and people were healed, right? Just say the word and my servant will be healed. Go your way, your servant lives. And the servant was healed from that hour. Amen? He spoke the word. Amen. When Peter's mother-in-law was healed, he says they brought to him many who were possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all that were sick. So Jesus spoke the word. People were healed. Storms were stilled. Miracles happened. There was great power released when he spoke. What if God put that power at your disposal? Now he wants to. He wants to put that same power at your disposal, but yet we run around here and we're driving up 400 and somebody cuts us off. And if he's got the power turned up, then the car that just cuts you off is likely to be obliterated by the words coming out of your mouth. And so God can't have that. So he has to say, well, we can't turn the power up too much for them yet. Hello? Amen. See, when we think of cleansing ourselves, most of us think about sexual sin, we think about drunkenness, we think about things like that. And those are things and certainly sins that we should depart from, absolutely. But I want us to look at what Paul also mentions here. Let's go back in the same passage, the verses before. In verse 14, he says this, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. So I'm supposed to charge you. Timothy was a pastor, and Paul was telling Timothy, charge your congregation. Charge them. So I'm charging you today. That means to speak directly to, right? That means not to say, well, this might be a good idea. You might want to try. No, I'm charging you today. What? Not to strive about words to no profit. This is a part of cleansing ourselves. And this is probably what most of us need to focus on more than what we would consider some of the big sins that we've put away in our lives and that haven't plagued us maybe for years. But we're still, some of us, many of us, maybe all of us, still dealing with some of these things. Hello. Amen. Charge them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. It's no profit to get into arguments and debates with people. Amen. To the ruin of the hearers. Amen. It's going to ruin the hearers if you do that. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun, that means turn away from, profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. So he says, striving about words, that's arguing, that's debating, and it's no profit to the hearers, and it leads to the ruin of the hearers. Then he says, to rightly divide the word of truth. Know how to use the word. We should know, as a believer, we should know how to use the word of God. Not to argue with it. Not to prove a point. I also preached another great message back in November. Making things right is more important than being right. Anybody remember that one? All right. So learn to use the word to minister life, to minister healing, to minister blessing, not just to use it to say, well, you know, I'm proving my point here. This is what I think about predestination, you know. And then he says, shun profane and idle babblings. If we're going to cleanse ourselves, we need to first examine what are we saying? What are we saying? What's coming out of my mouth? In Mark chapter 9, here's a beautiful, perfect illustration of this. Mark chapter 9, verse 14, it says, when they returned to the other disciples, this Peter, James, and John with Jesus had been up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus, Peter, James, and John come back down from the mountain. And it says, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. He was still glowing with the glory of God. Verse 16, what is all this arguing about? Jesus asked. So what are they doing? They're arguing, they're disputing with the teachers of religious law. What were they supposed to be doing? Well, there was a boy there that was demon-possessed, that needed deliverance, and his father had brought him, and we find this out as we read on in verse 17. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, teacher, I brought my son to you, so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk, and whenever the spirit seizes him, It throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I ask your disciples to cast the evil out, the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Now, they'd been out ministering, and they'd seen healings, right? They'd seen people healed. But they ran up against a brick wall here. They couldn't do it. Jesus said to them, "You faithless people," gentle, kind, loving Jesus. "You faithless people." My goodness, I wouldn't be here another Sunday if I talked to y'all like that, would I? Jesus rebuked them. "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." You think Jesus just floated around all the time with this serene look of peace on his face? Oh, he walked in the peace of God, but unbelief made him angry. And disregard for the things of God made him angry. Amen. "Bring him to me." So Jesus proceeds to deliver the boy, heal the boy. As he encourages the father, he said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe." And so the boy gets delivered as the man believes God and believes Jesus. Praise God. In verse number 19, it says, "Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?'" They thought, why did we run into a problem here? Come on in and have a seat. We're glad you're here. Praise God. So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief." Why couldn't they cast it out? Unbelief. "For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." So faith was the key. Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief." Well, how do we deal with unbelief? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? Amen. If you've got unbelief in your life, like Robert mentioned before, how many of you have struggled with, is it really God's will to heal me? You know how to get rid of that? You know how to settle the question in your heart, to know in your heart and to have total faith that it's God's will for you to be healed? The Word of God. Look at what the Scripture says. Look at what the Bible says. Amen. And then Jesus mentions prayer and fasting. But Jesus didn't say when he came down from the mountain, he didn't say, wait till I go fast and pray and get prepared. He was already ready. Prayer and fasting can be important elements for us staying ready. But that's the point. The point is that God wants us to stay ready. The point is, God doesn't want us to have to go and say, "Oh, well, I got to try to get filled up with the Spirit here." He wants us to stay filled. Amen. The point is not that we have to go and pray and get our faith built up and read the Word and get our faith. The point is to live that way. And that's what God's calling us to in 2022. To stay prepared, to stay ready, to live ready, to be ready, to be vessels of honor. Prepared for every good work. Amen? Yes, praise God. Reed, come on up if you would. We'll look at in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Let's go back and look at it again as we wrap this up. He says, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love." Now this is right after he talked about the vessels of honor. This is the verses right after that. He says, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." But again, he says, "avoid foolish and ignorant disputes." See, that's what happened to those disciples. They were supposed to be casting the devil out of that boy. And what did they end up doing? They ended up arguing, getting into an argument with the Pharisees. Amen. He says, avoid that. You're going to, in 2022, especially if you're on social media. Now, God bless you. If you're not, you're in a place of peace. Amen. Glory to God. But if you're on social media, it's so easy to, "Well, that's not right. Well, I need to say something about that. I've learned just to leave it alone. That's not my argument. That's not my deal. You know, there's a place in the Bible that says, let him that is ignorant be ignorant still. And you just have to. It says, don't rebuke a scoffer. Proverbs, I read that this morning in Proverbs. Don't rebuke a scoffer. Right? Amen. You can only have an input in somebody if they're teachable and willing to listen. Amen. All right. And so he says, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. So he deals with youthful lust at first. He says, flee youthful lust. That's what we would know as sins of the flesh. And certainly we should lay those aside. Certainly we should put those aside. And then he tells us what to pursue. Amen. A lot of times folks are just concentrating on what they shouldn't do and can't do, but we don't focus enough on what we're told to pursue. Amen. If we'll do this, he says, pursue righteousness, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue peace, and pursue calling on the Lord out of a pure heart. Go back to verse 22 there for a second, Trinity, if you would. Look at those things he says here. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That means not holding any unforgiveness in your heart, not holding any ill will toward others, not having any wrong motives, but making sure that your heart is. That's huge in cleansing yourself. That's huge in preparing yourself to be a vessel of honor. And then again, he returns to dealing with how we're using our words, and he mentions gentleness. And he mentions patience. These are the things. This is how that we become vessels of honor. This is how that we become prepared for every good work. Amen. Amen. I want to read you just a brief thing in this teaching from Brother Copeland about the word that he had. There was a whole teaching about each aspect of the prophecy here that's really good. And I hope you will access it and look at it. When the Apollo spacecraft traveled to the moon, it wasn't as simple as blasting off, then landing perfectly on the designated target. Astronaut Jim Irwin explained that this journey required course corrections every 10 minutes. When they sent that first spacecraft to the moon and landed on the moon, every 10 minutes, they were getting off just a little bit. They said, we got to make a correction here. Back on course. Every 10 minutes on that flight to the moon, they had to do that. Otherwise, it would have landed. They'd probably been in Pluto by now. Amen. They would have missed the moon entirely. So, every 10 minutes. And see, that's the why. Things, gravity, all kinds of things in space kept pulling them different ways, and they had to readjust the thrust and the force of the ship. I don't know, but kept pulling them off, and we'll encounter things in the world that will try to keep pulling us off course. So it requires our lives, our walk with God requires course corrections continually. That's why he gave us 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be quick to repent when you miss it. Amen. And be willing to make those course corrections. Amen. Don't give up. Amen. Don't say, it's too hard. I could never reach that. Don't do it. God's not giving up on you. Amen. He wants each one of us to be vessels of honor. He is going to pour out his glory on this earth. But it's not going to come just out of a spout from heaven. It's going to come through you. Oh, really? Yeah. It's going to come through you and through me. Amen. And he wants there to be a pure flow through each one of us. We're in a great house. We are in a great house. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest enterprise on planet Earth. And we are in a great house. And we are vessels in that house. And God wants us to be vessels of honor. Vessels that he can use to reveal his glory, to reveal His goodness, to reveal His saving and delivering and healing power. Amen. Are you with me? Do you want to be a vessel prepared for every good work, a vessel of honor? Amen. Let's commit to that. Praise God. In fact, just pray this out. Just stand up again if you would. Those of you joining us on YouTube, pray it with us. Just pray this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I present myself to You today. And I take heed to Your Word today. I desire to be a vessel of honor, sanctified, set apart, useful for the Master, and prepared for every good work. I thank You for Your grace, for the Holy Spirit working in me, empowering me to cleanse myself, to put away the things I need to put away, to pursue the things I need to pursue. Thank You, Father. I choose. I make a decision to be a vessel of honor. Use me, Lord, for every good work. Not for my glory, but for the advancement of Your kingdom. For people to be delivered, saved, and brought to You. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You.